On our journey. Speak to us your words of life, for you offer us direction and wholeness when we hear your voice and follow. You bless us with your love, shower us with your grace, and help us grow in faith. We seek you, O God, with all of our hearts. Be near us this day. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 9 in the green hymnal, Come, Let Us Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sins to God and one another. Loving God, you call us into community. Teach us your ways and bless us with abundant life. Yet we turn aside to follow other paths. We take the easy way out, listening to the world's call rather than your call to commitment. We quarrel with one another, letting differences divide us. We cherish our resentments, shutting off our hearts from forgiveness and reconciliation. We cling to petty jealousies, feeling we deserve more than we have. Forgive us when we wander from your love. Draw us into community with each other, and feed us with the milk of your grace, that we may grow in faithfulness and work together in peace. Amen. God is at work, nurturing our growth and showing us the ways that lead to life. God is at work, reconciling us to one another and teaching us the paths of love. God is at work, hearing our confessions, forgiving our disobedience, and blessing us in love.
Thanks be to God.
Invite the young people to come up to the front over here because we have visitors today.
Hi, everybody! Hi! I brought friends and sister today.
As we prepare to hear our scripture readings this morning, please join me in a prayer for illumination. Caring God, nurture the life within us. You have shown us the ways that lead to life. You have challenged us to move beyond the easy answers, to embrace the hard choices that come from caring deeply for others. Give us the wisdom and the courage to resist evil and walk in your ways of love. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you with land which you are entering to take possession of. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you this day that you shall perish. You shall not live long enough in the land which you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and cleaving to him, for that means life to you and length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is number 358, Love Divine, All Love Succeeding.
Thank you.
have one piece of information that I want to share with you. I talked with our friend Don Walters yesterday afternoon. If you remember correctly, Josh Walters, still one of our members, who's in the military, had had a problem with his throat, and they have diagnosed it. It's a word about this long, and probably only Jim would recognize it. It has to do with a duct that didn't close properly, actually, before he was born, in his throat. And so they can fix it. And it's going to mean that he won't leave Germany with his troops, but he should be able to catch up with them. So as they're being deployed to Afghanistan. So keep Josh and his family in your prayers. And when we know that the surgery has been done, we will pass that information along as well. Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of Matthew chapter 5. We are today and next week simply continuing straight on in the Sermon on the Mount. We stopped at verse 20 last week, and we picked that up, and we will read through verse 37 this week. So I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord now. You have heard it said to men of old, "You shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," shall be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You've heard that it is said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you, that everyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of unchastity makes her an adulteress. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the men of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Swathed in legend and myth, with little known about the man who gave it his name, Valentine's Day has become a bonanza for florists, candy makers, card companies, and jewelers, and for those who ignore it, I suppose, therapists and divorce lawyers. Getting a Valentine is fun because it means that someone remembered you. It might not mean anything more than that, but it might mean a lot more than that. And some folks do spend hours trying to find just the right card that conveys the perfect sentiment. Now, The thing about the right card is that this requires knowing the other person well enough to know whether they prefer a flowery, sentimental card or a clever, funny one. I have discovered that I think if my husband were to give me a sentimental card, I would worry that one of us was dying. And it's hard to find that balance sometimes. Either they're insulting or they're so saccharine sweet you need a dose of insulin to come with it. But there's that right one surely somewhere. And you make the wrong call and, well, things might get a little difficult. Because it is best, and there's a lot of things that we hear people complaining about Valentine's Day, but at its best, Valentine's Day is about relationships, celebrating relationships. It's about knowing a person well enough and caring enough to take the time to do something you know will please them, something that will make them happy. And again, what that something is depends entirely on the other person. And it's a mistake to assume you know what is the right thing to do without bothering to consider the other's feelings or preferences. Oh yeah, I know she'll like this Sears Craftsman drill. Well, some of us might, but others might not like that. And just assuming that because you like something that other person might is a mistake sometimes. And on the other side, that nasty little game of if you love me, you'll know without my having to tell you can be deadly to a relationship. It's not a good guessing game to play. Because despite what the Hallmark Channel tells us, good relationships don't just happen. And they certainly don't just happen in 30 minutes or an hour. Good relationships mean we have to be willing to be honest about ourselves, to actually let the other know us, not just as a fantasy, but as a real human being. So we have to be open about who we really are, and we have to be willing to accept the other as a real human being as well, all of which takes time and patience and love. And getting to know other people, forming relationships with people with whom we spend time, whom we can see and hear and touch, is hard enough. And so it should come as no surprise that getting to know God, forming a relationship with God, whom we can't see or hear or touch, is perceived to be a very difficult thing. And it is difficult, impossible to some extent, but it is possible. And it's possible because God wants to be in relationship with us. You see, it's not just enough for God to just be God. God wants to have a one-on-one relationship with each one of us. And even though as human beings we cannot comprehend God, we can be in relationship with God. And the Bible is one long story of God's relationship with humanity, of God's self-revelation, telling us who He is, letting us know through these stories things about God. Despite the fact that human beings often forget God, God never forgets us. Some of you may have done the old practice of writing somebody's name in your hand and looking at it in school, smiling, thinking about that person, There's actually a verse in Scripture that God says, I have written you on the palm of my hand. So that He knows who we are, that we are important to Him. God never forgets us. And God is always faithful. Now, we tend to think of God's Ten Commandments as law. Something that we have to do, whether or not we want to, or be punished for doing or not doing. And what we forget when we think about God's law in this way is that we now look beyond the law. And we always need to do that, because when we make laws, we might make them out of fear or out of retribution. I mean, think about it. The laws that we make are laws that are intended to control behavior to some extent or another, to protect property. Laws that are being passed right now, there's a lot of them that are stemming from some sort of a fear. And so we tend to assume that God makes laws for the same reason we do. And that's where we're wrong. Because for God, law, God's law, is about love. God's Valentine to us, in a way. Now, how many, if you stop and think about any law you can imagine that we have manufactured, that we have on our books, how many of them were written because of a love for other people? We'd be hard put. Now, we might have some programs in place that have a concern for others, but laws? But if we think about law from God as love, the reason that God gave it to us was because God loved us, because God wanted us to know how much we matter to Him by showing us ways to live in right relationship, not only with Him, but with our fellow human beings. God showing us how much we matter, then by giving us the ability to choose and not forcing us to live that way. It'd be pretty tricky saying, I command you to love me. Well, good luck with that. Choose life and good and obey these commandments, Moses said, by loving God and by walking in God's ways. Moses was standing there. This is his last speech to the children of Israel before he dies, knowing that they are about to go in and claim the land of promise. And so once again, he brings out the law and he talks about it. And the verses in Deuteronomy 29 and 30 before this, we hear this recital of what God has commanded. And Moses then says, choose life and good and obey these commandments. How? By loving God and by walking in God's ways. Or you can choose death and evil. It's up to you. And the scripture actually gives us a hint. God knew which way they were going to choose. You see, we don't have to play guessing games with God to discover what pleases Him. He's told us. Remember over in Micah, you know, people, what the Lord requires. To love justice, to love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with your Lord. You don't have to be told again and again. You know what God requires of you. And it all has to do with loving God and loving other people. And Moses tells them the way to obey these commandments is not to live in fear, but by loving God and by walking in God's ways. And it's rare that we do that. More often, we obey God's commandments rather grudgingly, whining and complaining the whole time, sulking when we don't get high praise for doing what's right. But in the same way that loving another person makes us willing to do things we probably wouldn't otherwise, loving God should make us willing to do things we probably wouldn't otherwise. Like giving up something for the good of another, or not being jealous of another's good fortune, or getting out of a comfy bed and getting dressed and coming to church to join in worship instead of rolling over and going back to sleep. How quickly the people who listened to Moses make his final speech forgot what he had told them. How quickly they began trying to more precisely define the law to make sure they didn't have to do any more than absolutely necessary. We understand that. Every kid alive has tried that with his or her parents. Just how far can I push before somebody pushes back? How far can I bend that rule before it breaks? Well, gee, Mom, you didn't say I couldn't do that. You said it or you've heard it. And sadly, all too often, we carry this behavior over into adult relationships as well, with God and with other people, which was the point Jesus was trying to make when he began talking about keeping these commandments. And this is before he summed them up to one man and said, all of them come under the heading of loving God or loving your neighbor as yourself. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking to these people and he gets to this point when he starts talking about the commandments and about keeping them. And he used the prohibitions against murder and adultery as examples. And it's easy to listen to these words of Jesus even and still feel like instead of setting us free, he is binding us even more tightly than we were before, making it harder. Yet, he is trying to explain that simply keeping the letter of the law is not the same as loving God and walking in God's ways. And so he says, you have heard that the law of Moses says, do not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. I say, if you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you verbally abuse another, you are in danger. Being fiercely angry with another person is wrong. Verbally abusing another person is wrong. We were taught to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's not true. That's not true. We know in our spirit that's not true. And we, all of us, at one time or another, have been hurt by somebody else's words. Because words that are spoken to hurt are deep, abiding anger, poison a relationship. And they can inflict wounds that cannot be healed except by God's grace. Just because we do not physically take another's life doesn't mean that we can't do something that might be even more cruel, might be even more soul-deadening. If you haven't experienced it, you know somebody who has, who's been told repeatedly that they're worthless or whatever, and they have to live with that. And if they hear it when they're young enough, or if they hear it long enough, they start to believe it. Jesus said, it's like murder. There's not any difference just because you let somebody live. And in the same manner, just because you don't sleep with someone doesn't mean you haven't been unfaithful. Because we know very well that faithfulness to another means much more than simply refusing to have sex with anyone else. We saw it played out in public a few years ago. We see it every once in a while keeps coming back with politicians or other public figures. Well, gee, we didn't, or whatever. It's unfaithfulness. It means being faithful means putting the other's best interest above any other's, of refusing to gratify myself at another's expense. It means not looking at another and fantasizing about them, making them objects. It means staying away from emotional entanglement with others. And it means that for both partners in a marriage. It's important to a marriage, but it has another dimension, and that is that it is wrong to treat any other human being disrespectfully. Your partner and the object of your fantasy, because both deserve better, and so do you. When something is adulterated, whether a relationship or a substance, the purity of the thing is compromised, and it is of less worth than it rightly should be. And if a relationship has gotten so bad that irreparable damage has been done, then the right thing to do is to end that relationship honorably in as caring a manner as possible without dragging a third person into the mess. You can choose to not let your body cause you to do something that interferes with your relationship with others and with God. If it feels good, do it. It's really bad advice in most instances. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do things that feel good, only that it is not a good enough reason in itself for doing something. Again, it's about respect for ourselves as well as respect for other people. It's about never forgetting that we are children of God. God's law is a gift to us. Since we're not able to figure that out on our own, God gave us the gift of Jesus, so that we could see how life could be lived in the law through the gift of grace. And beloved, that is truly good news. It brings us a different kind of freedom. Not freedom from the law, but freedom through the law. Freedom from our worst selves. Freedom from the things that are deadly to our souls. Freedom to love in new ways. Freedom to grow into the relationship with God that truly fulfills and satisfies us. Valentine's Day is about relationships and how blessed we truly are that a relationship with us is so important to God. Life and good, or death and evil, choose life and let your thanks be to God. Let us stand and say what we believe using the words from the Apostles' Creed found on page 14 of the Blue Hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite you to pray silently as I give voice to our prayers. Loving and gracious God, we do give you thanks and praise this day, coming in gratitude for your love for us. Speak to our hearts, open them so that we can truly begin to understand that you love us. Not as perfected beings, but as flawed humans who yet seek to do your will. Be with us this day as we live into that great promise. We ask this day that you be with those who deal with all sorts of loss, who are struggling to come to terms with illness and death, other challenges about which we know nothing. We thank you today for our young people, and particularly for their gift that they are offering to us this evening. We ask that you bless them and guide them, that you make this a time of joy for them as they serve us. We pray for all children this day. We give thanks for those who are loved and who are taught to be loving people, and we pray particularly for those who do not hear words of love, who do not know that they are individuals of worth, who do not understand the intrinsic gift of your love. Help us to remember to be loving people, because there's times when we don't feel like it. There's times when it's just too much trouble, or we don't feel good, or whatever reason. But remind us over and over again that the love that you give to us can go out to other people, and we don't need the storied up, that it is a boundless supply. Be with those this day who serve to protect us, the armed services, as police, as firefighters. Watch over and protect them. Watch over those who care for others, who show your love in so many ways, even to those who are at their most unlovable. Guide us as we go from this place, as we go out into the world to show your love to a world that so desperately doesn't understand what it means, who needs to see your love in action through us. We make all of our petitions known to you this day in the name of your Son, our Lord, who taught us to love and to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God has given us growth, guided our steps on ways that lead to life, and provided companions for our journey. Our very lives are a gift from God. With gratitude and praise, we turn to God with obedient hearts to offer back our gifts, that others may find life and wholeness. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. And led us in the paths of abundance. You have blessed us and kept us safe. In you we see that we are loved. We offer you our lives, for you have chosen to follow you. We offer you our praise, for your love is great. Use our gifts, our money, and our hearts to establish your realm of love upon the earth. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 59. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.